There are so many things that compete for our love. You can imagine a young couple dating, and the guy knows that the girl he's interested in is also interested in another guy. And when they're trying to date and they're trying to get to know each other, he gets jealous because she may be interested in somebody else at the same time. There's competition for love. Then, of course, you know, guys will do what they can to try to win her heart by doing what they can. There are many things that compete for the love of a Christian. We know that there are certain things we're not supposed to love. Love not the world. 1 John 2:15. Don't love the world. We are not to love sin. In fact, we are to hate sin. But there are many things that compete for our love. It is what we love that keeps us many times from serving the Lord the way we ought to. Because John 21, verses 1 through 17, has to do with satisfactory service to the Lord. I, 2 weeks ago, began the message by asking you, how sure are you that when you stand before the Lord, you're going to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? How sure are you? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Every one of us will stand before the Lord one day, and we will answer for our service to Him. As a believer, you will not answer for your sin. Jesus Christ took that upon Himself. And when you accepted Him as your Savior, He judged that sin. But we will one day, folks, stand before Him and answer for how we lived after our salvation. So as you live your life, and as I speak to you this morning, can you think about how you are living your life for the Lord? Is your life a life that is pleasing to Him? When you stand before Him, and it could be sooner than you think, will you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You say, "Well, I'm not sure." I believe you can be sure, just as sure as you are saved, that you could also know that your service to the Lord is pleasing to Him. And here in John chapter 21, in the first 14 verses, these disciples are standing there, then they get into a boat, and they, without Christ, begin to do their work. And we saw there that if we're going to serve the Lord in the right way, the first lesson is this: you must have the right work ethic. Or, let me put it this way, you must have the right mentality. And that mentality is to depend upon Him. Think about it. If I am going to do what pleases God, it must be in dependence on Him. Because if I do it in my own strength, it will not be pleasing to Him. I must do it in His strength, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I must do it in His power. I cannot do it on my own. I must depend upon Him. But this morning we're going to get to the next lesson on how we serve God in the right way. And here it is. We must have the right motive. And what is the right motive? What did we just sing? About love. Our motive must be love. When we do our service to God and we do it for some other reason, we will fall short in our service. I must do it out of love for Him. What kind of love does Peter have for Jesus? This is the key issue. Three times Jesus says, "Peter," and to put it in today's language, "Do you love me?" "Oh, yes, Lord, you know I do." Actually, the first time He said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, you know I do." "Peter, do you love me?" Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? That's the key issue for us too. What kind of love do we have for the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask yourself these questions as we study this morning. Why does Jesus ask only Peter? How many disciples are standing there at breakfast? Go back to verse 2. There's Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples. Seven disciples. Why does Jesus point out Peter? That's the first question I want you to ask yourself. And then the next question is this. Why does Jesus ask three times? Now, if I were to ask you, if I were to ask one of my children, do you love me? And they would say yes. And then I would say, do you love me? Well, yes. Do you love me? What does that communicate to you? Think about that. But the interesting thing is these three questions that Jesus asks, one in verse 15, the second in 16, the third in 17, each time he asks, his question varies. The first time he says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? The second time, look at verse 16, he says, Simon Peter, lovest thou me? The third time, look at verse 17. Simon Peter, lovest thou me? You say that 16 and 17 look exactly the same. But there is a difference. The word that Jesus uses for love in verse 16 is different than the word for love in verse 17. And we're going to look at that sometime later, not today. But today I want us to focus on that first question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I'm going to read that again, and I would like you to repeat the last three words with me. More than these. Are you ready? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Here's my question to you. How would you compare your love for Jesus? How would you compare your love for Jesus Christ? My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. We just sang that. Do you truly love him? If so, and I'm sure most people would say, yes, I'm willing to sing what little children sing, that Jesus loves me, this I know, but I'm also willing to sing that I love him. Then how would you compare your love for him? How would you compare it? Notice that Jesus, his first question is, lovest thou me more than these? His question is not, Simon, son of Jonas, knowest thou me? It is not, Simon, son of Jonas, servest thou me? I know a Christian college that when their graduates graduate, they hand them a towel. It's a symbol of service. But folks, service is not the primary thing. Service is not the key issue. The most important question is not service thou me, but lovest thou me? Because how we love him will determine how we serve him. Israel learned early on in their history that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. How would you compare your love for Jesus? But I've got a third question. I asked you two questions. Why does Jesus only ask Peter? Why does he ask three times? But I've got another question, and this is the question we're going to address this morning. Here it is. What is the object of these? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, typically we would put the object in there if I were asking somebody a question. Lovest thou me more than these piles of money over here? Okay, there's the object. Do you love me more than you love this car? Do you love me more than you love your child? Do you love me more than you love your spouse? You see, there's no object given here. To what is Jesus referring when he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I believe there are three possibilities. And I'm going to ask you the questions as if these questions are for you. Here are the three possibilities. We're going to start with the first one, which is, I believe, is the least likely. We're going to go to the next one, which is more likely. And then we're going to get to the third, which I think is most likely, what Jesus is referring to here. But I think that we can learn a lesson from every one of these three possibilities of what the object of these is. Here's the first one. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love Jesus? Do you love me more than you love these other disciples? Now, I say, again, this is probably the least likely, but there's application here. I believe that we could ask ourselves the same question. So I ask you the question, do you love Jesus more than you love these other disciples? In other words, how would you compare your love for Christ and your love for your fellow believer? Do you love Jesus Christ more than you love any other Christian? You say that cannot be a possibility. Surely Jesus is not asking Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than, and who's one of the disciples standing there? Do you love me more than Thomas? Simon, do you love me more than Nathaniel who's standing here? Do you love me more than James or John? And, well, there's two other disciples, and we don't know their names, but perhaps one of those is Andrew, and Andrew's related to somebody. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than you love your brother Andrew? There could be a possibility. Now, folks, it's not wrong to love others. In fact, go with me quickly back to chapter 13. Because back in chapter 13, Jesus actually commands them. In chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The question is not, do you love these men? You should, but Simon Peter, do you love these more than you love me? Question. Do you love anything, anyone, more than you love Jesus Christ? That is the question that Jesus puts forth to you. He had taught that he should be loved supremely above anyone else. Do you know what it says in Luke 14, verse 26? If you don't know this verse, I would encourage you to turn there. And I would encourage you to mark this verse. Because there Jesus says this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That is a comparative term when Jesus says, if you don't hate them. He is not telling you to hate them. He's saying, if your love for me in comparison to your love for somebody else is not like hate to them, then you're not fit to be my disciple. This is a hard question for us to answer, isn't it? Do you love Jesus Christ more than you love your children? Folks, there are many people who don't. How do I know that? Because of the way they rear their children. They rear their children as if their child is number one. And they don't rear the child the way God would have them do it. You see, if I love Jesus Christ, I will rear my children the way He wants them reared. I won't do it my way. I won't do it to have my child love me and or to be my friend. I want my child to know that I'm the parent. You see, too many of us today, too many parents want their child to come up and be their buddy. That is not the responsibility that God has given you, to be your child's buddy. You are your child's parent. And as a parent, you do what the Bible commands you to do. You see, if your child is your buddy, you won't discipline them the way you should. But if your child is your child, then you will discipline according to the book of Proverbs. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. I remember as a kid dreading that my parents would die before I would. Dreading it. I love them. And we should. But more than Jesus Christ? Jesus said in Matthew 20:37, if he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's one of the great problems I think we have is that parents love their kids more than they love the Lord. There's a good example in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. There's a man by the name of Eli, a priest. And Eli had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And these two boys were wicked. These two boys, Eli would not discipline. And because he would not discipline them, we see what took place in their lives in verse 29, 1 Samuel 2:29. A man of God has come to Eli and speaking for the Lord, you see in verse 27, he says, thus saith the Lord, and it continues on in verse 29, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation. But it's these words that I want you to get. And honorest thy sons above me. Eli, why do you honor your sons above me? Isn't it ironic that we invest our lives into our kids to such an extent that we want them to love us rather than we want them to love the Lord, and we lose them as a result? Do you love Jesus more than you love your children? Do you love Jesus more than you love your parents? Do you love Jesus more than you do your brother or your sister? Do you love Jesus more than you love any other person? A hard question. But it's a question that Jesus addressed many times. You may know the name of Senator Rob Portman. He's been in the news in the last couple of weeks. Because he now accepts homosexual marriage. And you know why he all of a sudden is accepting this wickedness? Why is it? Because he found out that his son is homosexual, so now it's okay. You see how the world works? So if he had claimed to be a Christian and would all of a sudden say, well, you know what, I now accept it because my son is one, then I would say, then you love your child more than you love the Lord. Because God calls it an abominable sin. And sometimes we tend to excuse sins. More and more people are excusing that same sin. Because they know someone who's gay. As if that makes it right. Well, you know something? I know somebody who's a thief. I'm going to start accepting stealing. I know somebody who's a murderer. Am I going to accept murder? By the way, those are the things that the Bible lists along with homosexuality in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 1. So you can see the application there. We tend to love people more than we love Jesus Christ. Folks, if I love Him supremely, that means I love His Word. In fact, the evidence for my love for Him is my love for God's Word. And I will therefore not love anything. I'm not talking about persons, because I am to love all people, but I will not love any kind of sin or wickedness. I will hate it. Because God's word condemns it. So the first question is this: do you love Jesus more than you love these other disciples? Do you love Jesus more than you love any other person? That's one possibility. Secondly, do you love Jesus more than you love these things? Do you love Jesus more than you love these things? In other words, how would you compare your love for Jesus, Peter, and your love for these fish? And that kind of brings a smile. Peter, do you love me more than you love the fishing business? He said, that can't be a possibility. Actually, I believe this is a better possibility than the first one. You see, loving Jesus is not just a matter of competition of other people. It's not just that I love people more than I love Jesus Christ. We tend, folks, to love things more than we love Him. And that's a problem. And the Greek word there, things, or these, the Greek word these can either be in the masculine or in the neuter, which means these things. Let me ask you something. What things compete with your love for Christ? There are some people who love music more than they love Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because they listen to music that He would not condone. You love your music more than you love Him. There are people who say, you know what, I'll give up anything, but I will not give up my music. Then you have just revealed that you love something more than you love Him. And you're not worthy to be His disciple. There are some people who love their pets more than they would love Jesus Christ. And I could list a whole bunch of things here. They love their cars, farming, golfing, fishing, hunting, their hobby, recreation. They love their business more than they love Jesus Christ. You see, Peter must have just done something that would cause the Lord to ask this. What had Peter just been doing when Jesus asked this question? Peter had just been doing what he loved doing. What did he love doing? He loved to fish. Anybody here love to fish? Brent, raise your hand. Yeah. I was watching for you. People love to fish. I would lie if I would say I love to fish. I love to fish when the fish are biting. I hate fishing when they're not biting. So, am I a good fisherman? No. I love to hunt even when I don't see the elk. I love it more when I see it. But Peter must have just done something that would cause the Lord to ask this. Peter had just done what he loved doing, fishing. And I think he might want to get back to doing it. I just finished a book. It's a book talking about a man by the name of John R. McKinney. He was a Medal of Honor recipient. He was a man who one day, I think I've mentioned this guy before, in World War II on the Philippine Islands, single-handedly killed over 100 Japanese of the enemy in 30 minutes. In 30 minutes. That's why he was standing before President Harry Truman in a ceremony where he was receiving the Medal of Honor. And President Truman told John in that ceremony, you know what? I'd rather have the medal you're getting than to be a president. And so the journalists were asking J.R., that's what he went by, what he was going to do. You're going to get into politics after this? You're going to get back into, you're going to get into business? What are you going to do? Here's the answer he gave. I just want to go back to fishing. You see, he was a southern boy from South Georgia. And what made him such a good soldier was the way he would track and hunting in the woods. You see, the Japanese called him the Phantom Warrior because he learned from the bobcats how to hunt. Where he'd be in one place and all of a sudden he'd disappear and the bobcat wouldn't be able to find him. He was that good in the woods. And the Japanese, when they came upon him, he was there and then he was gone. And he was shooting from over here. One man. He loved to hunt. He loved to fish. And he loved it so much. That's what he was going to go back to doing. Peter is the one who drew the net to shore. Remember that? Jesus says in verse 10, "Bring up the fish which ye have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. He's the one who went to get this prize catch. I wonder what the breakfast conversation was all about when Jesus said, "Come and dine." And the disciples are sitting around this coal of fires where Jesus is already preparing fish and he's got bread. I wonder what the conversation was like. I'm sure they're probably talking about this prize catch, this amazing catch. And at that point, perhaps, that's when Jesus asks the question to Peter. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this prize catch?" Peter's love was fishing, but not just fishing, but catching fish. And not just catching fish, but 153 of them. And not just 153 of them, but 153 great fishes, mega fishes. What can you do if you're living in his day with 150 large fish? Folks, they hit the jackpot. And we don't understand that in Ireland. Well, you know, we can go out and fish and, you know, somebody, well, you can't catch them legally, but you can catch a lot of fish. He caught 150 great fish. You know what he wants to do and what Jesus has called him to do are in competition. And this is the competition that every person goes through, especially young people. What God wants me to do and what I want to do. That was a struggle with me. What God wants me to do and what I want to do. You see, I love farming. And one of the reasons is when you farm, you plant the seed and the seed comes up, you see the results taking place in stages. In the pastorate, you don't necessarily see results. At least not right away. What Peter wants to do and what Jesus has called him to do are in competition, especially now that his business is successful. Wouldn't you call his business successful when he catches this many fish? All of a sudden, hey, my job is working out well. Hey, man, the money's rolling in. Hey, this is pretty good. I like this. Finally, my business is taking off. And then you'll find Christians beginning to love their money and loving their business more than they love the Lord. Because all of a sudden, the competition for attention goes to the business. And the competition on Sundays is to the business. And the competition is for the business. Your business or your job may not compete for your love until it becomes successful. And then when it becomes successful, that's when it's in competition. No wonder Jesus said a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because in the previous verse, Jesus said he had great possessions. And it's the great possessions that keep us from the Lord. Folks, when it comes right down to it, loving things more than you love Jesus Christ is actually loving self more than loving Christ because of what things can do for me, myself. Do you love Jesus more than you love these things? And you make the application, what are these things in your life? Lastly, and I believe this is probably the more accurate interpretation here, although all three are scriptural. Here it is. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these other disciples do?" Let me ask you that question. Do you love Jesus more than anybody else here? You say, wait a second. How can you ask that? How do I know if this person loves Christ more than I do? How can you ask me that? I ask you again, do you love Jesus more than anyone else here does? Jesus would say, do you love me more than these others love me? And I'll have to admit something. At first, I rejected this as a possibility. I didn't like this possibility because it's competing love. And I just don't see that. I didn't see that. And yet, with further study, I concluded that Peter had earlier made it a competition. Peter is asking, or Jesus is asking Peter something based upon what Peter said earlier. Remember what Peter had said to Jesus before he was crucified, before he was betrayed in the garden? Peter said this, Lord, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. In that boast, folks, is a hint that he claimed to love Jesus more than the other disciples did. Though everybody else, Lord, though these other 11 will desert you, I won't, because I love you more. In his boast is a hint of that very thing. And note something else. What does Jesus call Peter here in verse 15? He calls him Simon, son of Jonas. I call this his BC name, his before Christ name. Because before Peter met Christ, that was his name, Simon, son of Jonas. But remember when Jesus met him, he said, no longer are you Simon. Your name is Peter. That's found in John chapter 1. But now Jesus is going back to calling him Simon, son of Jonah. And it's reminding Peter of his sinful state from which Jesus had called him and into which he had returned with his denial. And I believe Jesus is intending to remind Peter of his weakness. And yet he doesn't ask Peter, Peter, why did you deny me? Instead, he addresses the key issue, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You see, the key issue is love. There are those who boast about their love for Jesus Christ, and they are generally trying to cover something if they are out bragging about it. You ever meet somebody who says, oh, I love Jesus Christ more than anything else? I'm like, what are you trying to cover? Because anytime I see somebody bragging about their love, you see him denying him. Beware of a spouse who publicly professes love for their mate. Why do they have to say it publicly all the time? Trying to cover up something at home? Facebook is one of those places where people do it all the time. Jesus is tenderly tending to this sheep who has fallen. Peter's bitter weeping may be past. Remember, he wept when he heard the cock crow the third time. He wept. He had denied his Lord. The weeping is gone. But folks, Jesus, instead of avoiding an uncomfortable issue, Jesus addresses it head on. He is tending to this sheep. Jesus is doing exactly what he commands Peter to do. When he says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Then you go feed my sheep. You know, feeding is not just what comes from the pulpit. Feeding is the tending of every believer to other believers. It's tending to each other. And that tending sometimes may involve rebuking and reproving, even as Jesus is tenderly doing to Peter right here in this passage. Folks, the best way to deal with a failure is not to ignore the failure, but to bring it up so restoration can take place. Matthew Henry said, we must not reckon it an affront to have our sincerity questioned, but when we ourselves have done that which makes it questionable. If I do something that makes my sincerity questionable, then my sincerity can be questioned. Peter's restoration here, which is, I believe, is what's taking place, parallels his fall. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. How many times did Jesus question Peter's love? Three times. Peter denied Jesus in public. And now Jesus, in front of all the other disciples, at least six others, has him affirm his love publicly. The disciples had heard Jesus predict Peter's fall. Now they hear Jesus restoring him. Folks, all three of these possibilities are problems with believers today. I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about you and me. All three of these are possibilities with each of us. Some of us love others more than we love Jesus Christ. Some of us love things more than we love Christ. And some of us claim to love Jesus Christ more than anyone else does. You are setting yourself up for a big fall. I tell you, the one who loves Christ most is probably the one who hangs his head and says, "You know, I don't love him enough. I don't love him enough." The issue is not what you say. The issue is how you show it. As we see in the succeeding verses where Jesus says, "Simon, feed my sheep." Would you bow your heads? Close your eyes? I wonder if one of these three possibilities is an issue with your heart today.